Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In this week's podcast, we're talking all about how to understand TV series and movies without subtitles. Ethan, Justin, and I discuss three key things that are going to help you, which are vocabulary, connected speech, and cultural context. So to learn more, continue listening or watching, and as always, head on over to our Instagram at reallife.english for some bonus tips as soon as you finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
gorgeous
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're shopping at the mall, trying on some new shoes, or even
having a lovely long soak in the bath.
I'm joined here in the global studio, first of all, by the man who can speak Braille, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, what is up?
And as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, Ethan?
Doing fantastic. So I want to let you guys know that if you are listening to this, to remember that you can go over to our YouTube channel, Real Life English, and you can actually watch us, which, you know, you can grab your favorite hot drink and it'll be a little bit like you're having a coffee with me, Andrea, and Justin.
This is really great, by the way, because you can actually watch our mouths and this is really helps your pronunciation and you can really get a better feel for what's going on.
Very good point. That said, Justin, what does it mean if you can speak Braille?
Well, Braille is actually the language for blind people, right? They can feel it with their fingers, mm-hmm. right? So you can't speak it, technically. You feel it.
You're the only person who's been able to learn it fluently. So speaking about understanding and learning languages, today we are going to be talking about a problem that we hear all the time, a frustration that we hear all the time, especially because we're kind of experts in learning English with TV series and movies and other fun media. And we've kind of just met so many learners around the world who they've studied, they've learned the grammar, they've kind of done everything that their teachers have told them to, that different YouTubers have told them to, that they've been like reading different articles about. Maybe they've even had like the opportunity to go live in an English-speaking country, but like even after all of that time invested, all of that struggle, all of that sacrifice, that you still kind of will have that frustration that you can't even relax and watch your favorite TV series without subtitles.
Yeah, that is a big one, and that's the whole reason why we started learning English TV series and Fluent with Friends. But rest assured, you can get past it. You can embrace where you're at. You can make it an active learning process to succeed, and we're here with you.
Can enjoy the journey, not just the destination. Before we get too much ahead of ourselves, let's take a look at a shout out to a very special real lifer out there.
Okay, so today's shout out comes from Mustafa from Dubai, and he says, "Hello from the hottest city in the world, of course, in terms of weather. I'm not an English learner since I'm living English for more than 15 years, but I've started to learn from you guys. You are awesome, and I'm both learning and enjoying. Good luck, and yeah."
That's so awesome. And I really loved what he said about living his English. He's not learning English anymore. He's living it. And I think that that's such an important kind of like shift in your mentality that you can have, that you're no longer looking at it as like a dry, boring school subject, but as something that is just part of your life.
And that is real world fluency, right? Think about it.
Oh, yeah. So if you want us to shout you out, it's really simple. You just have to head over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to us, just like Mustafa did, and leave us a 5-star review. And the other really great thing when you do this is you're helping other learners from all around the world to have a lot of fun learning with us. That said, let's take a look at a really amazing quote that we have.
All right. So today's quote was actually chosen by Ethan, but I'm going to read it. So it's by Epictetus, which I believe is maybe a Greek philosopher, I don't know. I'm just guessing, but we have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak.
Andrea, since you're the expert on Greek, how would you say that?
Well, in Greek, it's Epictetos.
There you go.
And I guess, yeah, I think you did a great job though, Justin. You know, it's these ones are always quite hard to pronounce, the lovely Greek philosophers.
So what is so special about that quote, Justin?
So what's so special is there are two layers to this. First of all, it's about listening, having that empathy, having that diplomacy to listen more than you speak. So you have one mouth and two ears. So you should listen more than you speak. And then from the perspective of today's lesson of understanding English without subtitles, it's really important for all English learners to listen more, to listen to podcasts, to practice their listening, to watch TV shows, to watch movies, to listen to music, because the world is full of native English, and it's so important to listen, and non-native English too. But definitely this can be a huge push for your fluency. Think about a baby, for example, before they actually utter their first word, that baby, that child, is a toddler, is listening for years or for a long time before they actually get to the hang of their speaking.
Exactly. So definitely open your ears to this lesson. And I think that is a perfect jump off point into today's main topic. So if you follow us on our YouTube channel, Learning English with TV Series, well, if you're watching this on YouTube, maybe you're already a subscriber over there. And if you're not, we can also link that down in the description below so you can go check it out, because it'll definitely help you if your goal is to understand TV series without subtitles. But we always say that we want to help you to understand fast-speaking natives and to understand your favorite TV series and movies, music, and whatever without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. So Justin, how exactly did we come about this kind of slogan that we use over on that channel?
Well, it's directly from surveys that we've done with learners to really understand your listening pains. So we sent out surveys from Real Life English, just really trying to understand like what problems you're having when you're listening. And people came back with answers basically saying they get lost, they miss the jokes, and they want to learn English without subtitles. So we just kind of made it into this slogan. Ultimately, when you're watching TV shows, it's really frustrating, that frustration of getting lost because you miss a word or you miss the cultural context or the pronunciation. And then you hear the laugh track in the background, right? In a sitcom. The laugh track is like when the artificial laughter, when you're supposed to laugh. And so ultimately the big ambitious goal is to watch English without subtitles.
Yeah. So we'll be talking a lot more about all of those things, but that is kind of one of our goals, one of our big goals at Real Life English, is to kind of like help you to be able to do all those things. So you kind of have that confidence that you can like sit back and relax with a TV series without kind of having those frustrations of being lost, of missing the jokes, of like needing to depend on the crutch of subtitles.
Yeah, that's really interesting what you're saying there about crutches. I think about it like this, because subtitles are crutches.
What is a crutch?
What are crutches, Andrea?
Well, crutches literally are they kind of look a bit like sticks. They're usually made of metal and they help you to walk, like if you have a broken leg or something like that. So they help you so that you can be able to move. But it doesn't mean that in this respect, does it?
Well, it could. I like to think about the person kind of walking with crutches, and they finally get to the point where they throw their crutches off because they don't need them anymore. It's kind of like a child like riding their bicycle or their tricycle with the training wheels, right? Not tricycle, but they're the bicycles with training wheels. The training wheels are the wheels that are supposed to help them as they get adapted to riding their bike, and then taking those training wheels off.
That's a nice way of looking at it, yeah.
Definitely. I think that's maybe better than crutches too, because crutches, it's kind of like you have some weakness, right? And you need those crutches because like you're healing or whatever. But training wheels are more like empowering, because you're using those so that you can get to the point that you can enjoy riding the bike without the training wheels. And I think maybe that's a better metaphor for like the subtitles and for other resources, kind of like, you know, we have our different courses. Like that's pretty much why we created our Fluent with Friends course and our Real Life Native Immersion course, is to kind of be the training wheels that you would need to get the resources to be able to have like a conversation with a native and to feel confident that you can understand what they're going to say, or, you know, to be able to sit back and relax with a TV series or a movie without needing to depend so much on the subtitles.
Yeah, for example, one of the core features of the Fluent with Friends course and the Native Immersion course, which follows some of our podcasts, 40 of our podcasts, is basically to take the transcript, put footnotes, and break down all the native connected speech all of the, when we cut and connect our words, the advanced vocabulary, all the things that you'd struggle with, the jokes and the cultural context to really kind of give you that context for you to learn it, understand it, and then listen to it again. And we also do this on the Learn English for TV series channel. So how do we do it on that channel, Ethan?
Well, that really evolved out of our Fluent with Friends course, of course. And it also, I think, has kind of like evolved since we've been editing those and we've gotten better, I think, just at producing those videos. Especially if you go and see some of the old ones, I'd be a bit embarrassed about those. But you can see that nowadays we've got much higher quality of being able to do this. But basically, how we have translated that to the screen, the first, you'll watch the clip of the TV series or movie with subtitles so that you kind of have those training wheels that you need. And then we actually teach you all of the most important vocabulary and connected speech, as Justin was explaining, and anything that might be difficult for the typical learner. And then finally, to kind of put into practice everything that you've learned, we test you by showing you the scene a final time without subtitles. So it's kind of like you have to really apply all of that vocabulary that you've learned, all of that connected speech, and see if you can actually watch it again without getting lost. And I think the reason that we do this is because we've seen that most people, by going through that whole process, by the time they get to that test, watching without the subtitles, they've probably taken up their comprehension of that clip by like at least 10%, probably a lot more.
Yeah, it's a big aha moment to take a clip that you don't understand, you study it, and then you do understand it. It's very empowering because they realize that hard work pays off. And as you link different scenes together and build your vocabulary, it gets easier and easier.
So that said, you mentioned a few things, Justin, and I think we can explain briefly each one of those and kind of like how those form a part of actually being able to get to the point where you can understand a series or a movie without the subtitles. So I think you talked about vocabulary, connected speech, which is kind of like how we natives cut and connect our words. And also within that, just like sound morphing, because this happens, I think, just even within words and other aspects of our pronunciation, which is a lot different than you might have learned at school. And then finally, the cultural context. So like the jokes and things like that you would need to know that. So the first one, jumping into native vocabulary.
So it's really important to learn lots of different types of vocabulary because obviously we natives don't make it that easy for people. We speak using lots of expressions and idioms, which we spoke about last week on the podcast. And like even slang is like a completely other language as well. So depending on where you're traveling in the UK, for example, you're going to hear like what seems like a completely different language. So I've only mentioned a few so far, but these are a really good starting point in understanding and learning more vocabulary.
I would say vocabulary is super important to start with because even if you have great listening comprehension, if you don't have the building blocks, which is vocabulary, if you don't have the content to really understand the meaning in your mind, you can't understand the rest. Same thing with cultural context. It's like vocabulary ultimately is the base because it's going to give you the building blocks for that fluency.
Mm-hmm. And I think once you have that really good base, you can get to the point where you'll understand kind of new things through the context. So it's kind of like, I think, the pieces of a puzzle, right? So that if you have enough pieces, once that kind of whole picture starts to come together of the puzzle, then all of the other pieces just kind of fall in place naturally. So when you have that vocabulary, then, you know, even maybe if you miss something because it wasn't pronounced like you might expect it to be pronounced, or because, you know, there was a joke about some person, maybe you'll be able to kind of put those things together because you had the kind of big enough base of vocabulary to get 70% of what was said in a certain phrase.
One of the things you mentioned there is, you know, getting to the point where it's like you're starting to put the pieces of the puzzle together. So the jigsaw puzzle, right? You're taking the pieces, putting them together. At first, you can't really see the picture, right? But if you get enough pieces, you can start seeing it and understanding it. And this is really important to get the general idea. And once you get the general idea, it's great because maybe you don't understand 100% of everything. Maybe there are a lot of gaps, but still, you understand the story. And that's so much more engaging and interesting. And so you gain more motivation, you do it more, and that starts accelerating your whole process.
And I think being really kind to yourself too throughout this process, because I think when you start watching any new show, especially, and this is something we can talk a little bit more about, maybe some series are harder to understand than others, but I think there's always kind of at first, you know, it's a new sort of story or it's a new situation. There's characters that you haven't gotten used to hearing them speak yet. And once you get kind of like more accustomed to it, maybe at the beginning, you only understand 50% or 60%. But as you kind of get used to watching it, even if you're doing that more passively, just kind of like naturally over time, it's going to start getting easier for you. Now, you can definitely get a lot out of just like passively watching a series, but when you actually make that learning active, and that's what we try to help you to do on Learning with TV series and with our Fluent with Friends course, then I think it just is like rocket fuel for your ability to learn with that piece of media.
Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our real-life native immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use real native English and make it a permanent part of your life in a way that is fun, natural, and convenient. The best part is you can try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. We will send it to your email. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod, that's P-O-D, to sign up.
So what would be some tips that we can make it more active while we're learning?
So it's really important to deliberately practice certain aspects of this, like, because passive learning is great. It's really going to help you and it's a very important part of learning. But you need to actively work on specific things in order to improve your level. So, for example, I've just been working on a lesson with discourse markers, and these are a really important aspect of vocabulary because when you can recognize them, you can then actually, if you understand that it's a discourse marker, which is basically just like a filler, and I actually noticed from starting to work on the podcast and recording the podcast just how much I use them. So it really allowed me to realize how much I use discourse markers.
Can you give a couple examples?
Yeah, so there's one. So it's just kind of linking my ideas together. You don't really need to know the meaning of it or really think about, oh, so she's saying so, what does that mean? And then there's other ones like I mean. We use I mean a lot at the start of sentences as well, but it's just to kind of kick off the sentence. You don't really need to think about those words. So if you're identifying those, if you've actually worked on this, you can identify them and not spend so much time translating them or thinking about them. And then when you have a really good grip of them, you can even start using them yourself. And what they're going to do is buy you thinking time in those moments where you're maybe having a conversation and you're not quite sure what to say next. You can, if it's more natural to you, you can use discourse markers as a way to think about what to say next.
There's a really interesting video of Justin Bieber. He says like 63 times in a 60-second interview. It was amazing.
We could probably go through the podcast and count how many discourse markers we use.
I think there's a moderate amount that you can use and you sound good. You sound really fluent. But if you use them too much, it sounds like you don't know what you're talking about.
That's the thing. Sometimes people overuse them. So it's important to be aware of that, especially like I think that's a really American thing, but definitely something that has influenced the UK as well.
It's true, whether you're native or a learner. So I think like another really important thing too that we include with all of our courses is spaced repetition software. And so many learners talk about like the frustration about not being able to remember vocabulary. Like you have maybe a lot of vocabulary that you understand it when you hear it, but then when you actually get the chance to speak, it's like it's nowhere to be found. That it's gone from your memory. And when you use the spaced repetition software, and some of the ones that we tend to recommend are like Anki or Memrise, then basically, you'll be able to kind of like remember these forever because they work with your brain in the same way that your brain would forget something. They kind of like give you these reminders to study certain words. And you can do all sorts of different things with this too. You can add like audio, you can add pictures, which also can help you to remember. So definitely check out some app like that. If you're not using it already, then it's definitely a must-have in your arsenal of English learning tools.
And even like as a step towards that, it's just taking notes, having a pen and paper, having the pen in your hand and a piece of paper. As you hear a new word, be curious. Huh, I didn't know that word. And look it up later. You could even stop it and look it up at that moment. Just taking notes and something that sounds nice to you, being a connoisseur of vocabulary.
What's a connoisseur?
Connoisseur. What does that mean, Andrea? Do you know?
Is it like when you're an expert? You're an expert in something like a wine connoisseur or something. It always makes mm-hmm. me think of that, you know, someone that really knows that topic or that field.
I like to think of it more in like, as well, like the person is like interested in it. You know what I mean? The person has a deep interest in it. You're like, ah, I love that word. And even, you know, making like a vocabulary notebook, for example, mm-hmm. keeping the words that you want to integrate into vocabulary. And so the words that maybe you might want to take from your passive vocabulary and make them active.
Totally. So we've talked a lot about vocabulary. I think that another thing that is maybe going to be even trickier for people, but when you discover it and you start to kind of like learn some of the principles of it, it can just be life-changing, I think, as far as your English learning goes. And that's connected speech, which a lot of people tend to think that only Americans do this. Is that true, Andrea?
It's not true. No, it's not just you guys. We're guilty as well.
And you guys have different forms of it and stuff. And I think that's true of pretty much every accent of English. We all use connected speech. And that just basically, I think, is something that comes about because of the way that the English language works compared to other languages. And basically, if you don't know anything about this, then probably you're going to have a lot of moments where you feel stuck, you feel lost, because most schools don't teach this. And so, you know, when you actually like hear something, you're not expecting it to hear it in that way, and you're just going to feel like a deer in the headlights.
So on the most basic level, connected speech are in words like gonna and wanna, right? Like a lot of people think like mm-hmm. connected speech, they'll say it's actually colloquial. And that's true in some sense, it's the way we speak. And sometimes like really connecting your words, it can be kind of colloquial. For example, the phrase, I'm gonna, is not so colloquial anymore. If you write it, that's colloquial in your written language, but in your spoken language, no. It's like that, you can use that in a formal situation. Even the word, it's reduced, it's even connected more to mm-hmm. I'm gonna. I don't know if you guys do that in England, Andrea?
Maybe you're like, I'm a go. Oh, no, actually, no, that sounded really weird saying it. No, I feel like sometimes I have used it, but maybe we haven't taken it that far yet. Maybe I'm just influenced by TV series and movies and you guys.
I noticed like when I visited home recently, my nephew, he's using this just in his standard day-to-day conversation. So it's like the English language is really evolving. And it's like, you know, I'm a go now. And so it's like, did you just say that? Really? So this comes from, I thought I first recognized this in rap music. But you see this reduction of going from I'm going to I'm gonna to I'm gonna and I'm a, right? And there's a lot of that going on. So for example, you know, like there's some rules like T plus Y equals the ch sound. For example, what you becomes what you. Mm-hmm. Did you. The American D, like better. You know, I can say like, the glottal T, you guys use that a lot in England, right, Andrea? What would that be?
Yeah, so instead of saying water, people might say water. Or instead of saying better, they would say better.
In American English, we say this a lot with like the NT sound, like mountain mm-hmm. sometimes, mountain, fountain.
And one that Andrea recently helped me discover from British English, which I find really mind-boggling, is when you have like, they add an R sound. So for example, how would you say law and order? We'd say in the US, law and order. How would you say it?
We would say law and order.
Yeah.
This is like you guys say like, I don't know, do you say idea? Idea, like the idea? How do you say that word?
Idea. I think it depends what's coming after. We might even add in an R, an intruding R after that as well, yeah.
So as you can see, the English language, it's much more sophisticated and complex than maybe you learned in school. And this is definitely something that if you become a connoisseur of pronunciation, you can see that. You can really see the rhythm and flow of the English language and learn some of the mechanics. And if you start imitating natives, it's really important to recognize that you don't need to speak like a native. You don't need to speak with a perfect native accent, but it can be like going to the gym and like lifting weights. Your muscles get stronger. And with pronunciation, it's the same thing. It's like you're speaking with your oral musculature. And so if you go to the gym of imitation, practicing the native pronunciation, that can really help you speak better, speak more clearly, and speak more confidently too. Mm-hmm.
If you want a really fun way to practice this, we made a really popular video with Eminem, and we actually have kind of like an exercise in there that we used to do. I know Justin and I, at least, we used to do with a lot of our students with a song from the movie 8 Mile. So that can be, if you're kind of new to connective speech and you want to try your hand at using it and kind of like open your mind to how common this really is in English, then that can be a really interesting way to get started at it. That said, Andrea, what is like the third key that people need if they want to be able to understand even without subtitles?
So the third key is cultural context. And this is, again, so important because every place has a different kind of context and history, and it's really going to help you to understand the language a lot better and just the culture.
Exactly. So I think something like that can be really interesting is actually knowing a little bit more about the place. So if you're actually, maybe this isn't important for everyone, but you know, if you want to go live in the US or you want to go live in the UK, it's going to be really important. And even if you just want to be able to enjoy the TV series or the movies from that place, it's going to be really important. So it can be like worth to learn a little bit. You don't need to become an expert or a connoisseur, as Justin was saying, of the history or of like the politics or anything, but like learning a little bit can kind of like help you be on the level of like understanding that cultural context.
I think sometimes maybe you're like with a group of people, for example, and they'll be mentioning names, like they all know each other and you're new, for example. They'll be mentioning names, places, and you can really be hard on yourself, you know, get down on yourself to think that you don't understand natives and blah, blah, blah. But if you look at it, if you really start to understand kind of what you're missing, you realize that you're not missing the core language. You're just missing some details. And the right answer there is not to be hard on yourself, but it's just to be curious and to really seek to understand.
I think that you definitely need to be, like Justin said, don't be hard on yourself. What does that mean, to not be hard on yourself?
So not be hard on yourself means to don't punish yourself. You know, don't go into that negative self-talk and be like, oh, you know, my English is so bad, I don't understand, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think it's definitely important to be kind to yourself. I recognize sometimes too, when I watch certain series, like especially sitcoms, comedies, that they'll make a certain joke about a certain person or, you know, an event or something like that, and I don't know about it, and I don't find the joke funny, even though I'm like hearing that laugh track. So this happens to natives too. And I think just recognizing that while it's important to have some cultural insight, it's normal that you're not going to understand every single joke. And, you know, that's okay. I think it's just kind of like striving to realize what's actually important. And I think that's a really great thing that we at least try to do through Learning English with TV Series and Fluent with Friends, is trying to point out to you what is actually important to understand. And so that you can get a little bit more of that cultural insight and be able to laugh more with the jokes.
One other type of cultural context, which is more based on your skills with the language and your vocabulary and pronunciation, is wordplay. Because sometimes we make jokes with you know, different meanings of the words, and sometimes they're perverted, sometimes they're not, but ultimately it demands kind of like a ninja understanding of language, like a much more advanced understanding, really not have to think twice, to really know all the meanings of it, and to really connect the dots really quickly. So that's another aspect of cultural context, which just demands practice. And sometimes you need to stop and just like really understand why people are laughing. You can go back to the example of like, if you're with a group of people, you know, they make a joke and you understand it literally, right? But they need to explain why it's funny in a deeper sense, you know?
Yeah. So maybe like what we were saying before, there's like some proper noun involved, right? If it has to do with like history or a certain person or something like that. And if that's not present, something along those lines, you're not saying like a capitalized noun, then it might be something like Justin saying, where wordplay, usually you need to know like what synonyms does this word have? Like what other ways can that be used? And a lot of times there'll be that kind of like play on words. And another thing, which is, it's common in the US, I think it's even more common in the UK, which I think is even more difficult maybe than wordplay, is like sarcasm. And that in American English, at least, we tend to change our tone a lot. So you can kind of like learn that tone and start to understand that. But I think maybe in the UK, you have more of an issue with this, right?
Yeah, definitely, because the sense of humor is very dry. So people will make fun of themselves, they'll make fun of other people, but it's not so obvious. So like you said, maybe in the US, when people are being sarcastic, their tone changes. Whereas in the UK, they don't change their tone so much. So sometimes even a native, for example, mm-hmm. could be like, are they being serious or are they joking? And it's not very clear. So I think a great example and a great TV series to watch for this as well mm-hmm. is The UK Office, because it's just a great example of, you know, sarcasm, this typical dry British sense of humor as well. So definitely watch that if you want to learn a little bit more about the British culture and understand it in context.
And comparing it to the American version too, because the American version is exactly like so slapstick humor.
What does that mean, the slapstick you mentioned?
Slapstick humor is kind of like the over-the-top humor, like the kind of like, it's so obvious. It's like the typical American humor. It's almost like the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges kind of invented it probably, but it's a different type of humor than, it's very stark contrast. You can take the same script.
Physical comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they actually, I remember the first episode of the US Office was an exact copy of the UK one, but it didn't really work as much. And then obviously it evolved and they made it into their own. And that's just a great series too.
Definitely. So I think kind of that's another really big cultural insight, is like being able to know like what are the kinds of jokes that they make. So maybe if there's a certain place that you're planning on traveling, or if you're learning that certain accent more, then that definitely can be kind of valuable to maybe study up a little bit on like what is British humor, what is American humor.
So one thing I just want to emphasize here is it's really important to understand that you don't need to understand 100%. Natives don't understand 100%. Most people don't understand 100%. Maybe you might be under the illusion that you get the general idea and that you understand 100%, but most of the time it's really hard to understand 100%. So it's okay to stop, listen, study, grab your notepad, really make it an active learning process, integrate it with the other study habits that you have, like spaced repetition that we're talking about, and really just look at it as a process. Remember, understanding TV shows without subtitles is a journey, not a destination.
Exactly. So I think that another part of that too is just when you're watching some TV series, maybe you're actually like following. And I think kind of the thing to see is like, are you making progress? So like with each episode, or maybe you'll even watch an episode and then you'll study it a little bit, kind of, you know, like the same way that we teach on Learning with TV Series and in our Fluent with Friends course, maybe you're doing this on your own. So you'll like watch it, kind of like study some things and then like watch it again. Or if you're even just kind of more passively learning and you're just going through and watching episode by episode, do you see that progress? Do you see that like you're starting to understand better? Did you start out at 50% and now you feel like you can understand 60 or 70%? And I think like making sure that as long as you're kind of getting a little bit better all the time, it means that, you know, you're advancing your language skills. So I think that as you're seeing that kind of like journey, you know, there's going to be parts that are harder and easier, but to keep at it, you know, to not give up. And know that at some point you're not going to get to 100% probably ever, but maybe you can get to 95% and you'll get to the point where you can just understand through the context, like we were kind of saying, getting enough pieces of the puzzle that you can kind of see the whole picture.
I would add there that it's really important to have patience and humility. I mean, you're talking about patience there, but I think the humility to watch a TV show, a TV series, and not understand everything, because I think a lot of times we want to understand everything. And so it's sometimes we're harder on ourselves because we're not understanding it. And maybe you also want to be entertained oftentimes. So you have to find a balance, mm-hmm. find a way to keep that engagement with learning. You can go back and kind of verify your understanding. You can even watch, you know, with subtitles in your own language and then compare even. So mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that if you're learning without subtitles that you can't use subtitles as well. You can't use subtitles in your language too. You can turn them on, turn them off, rewind, you know, be active in your learning.
I think also it's really important, it goes back to not being so hard on yourself as well, and understanding that sometimes even we need to watch TV series and movies with subtitles. We've spoken about it before, but you know, depending on the type of accent, it's very difficult to understand some TV shows. For example, Peaky Blinders, like I always watch that show with subtitles because it's a Birmingham accent, but it's a really strong one. You know, you won't go to Birmingham and it'd be that difficult to understand everybody, but the way that they speak in that show is very difficult. And, you know, they mumble as well. So all of these things make an impact on whether or not you can understand it very clearly. And another one that springs to mind that I was watching recently is Brooklyn Nine-Nine, because it's a hilarious show, but they speak so fast, and especially when they're making all the jokes as well. So you really have to pay attention. And I'm finding even with that one, it's just, I think it's a great one to watch if you're an advanced learner, because they just speak so fast and you really have to focus and pay attention when you're watching that show.
I didn't even realize they speak that fast on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but I definitely feel your pain with the Peaky Blinders. I was the same. That I remember I was watching it with subtitles, and I was doing something in the kitchen at the same time, and I turned around and I realized, because I wasn't watching at that point, I wasn't reading the subtitles, that I like had completely missed what they were saying. I didn't understand a word of it. So I think that kind of, again, you know, recognizing maybe some series will be harder. Some natives can be harder to understand. So, you know, whether you're watching a TV series or a movie, or even when you're meeting with a group of friends and maybe you meet someone new and you're like, this person, like, I thought I understand English well, but I can't understand this person at all. And just recognizing, like, maybe that person has an accent, maybe they mumble, like Andrea was saying, or, you know, maybe it's something else that you're just like not seeing. Maybe this person likes to use really sophisticated language and is using like a lot of vocabulary that you're not so accustomed to hearing. And any of those factors can just lead you to maybe have like a slip up, like a, you know, where you're not going to feel as confident, but knowing that if you hang in there and you're patient with yourself, that you can get there.
I think maybe people have that experience listening to this podcast, because I think I'm more difficult to understand in general. I'm like level hard, the hard level. I think, I don't know if Andrea is like easy level and if Ethan's medium level, but a lot of people have a hard time understanding me.
Might depend too which accent you're more used to, right?
That's why I think it's so important as well to expose yourself to different accents. Because I remember as well, sometimes some of my first lessons on Learn English with TV series, some people that were just used to the American accent were saying, is she speaking English? I don't understand her. And I was like, really? I feel like I'm speaking clearly. But again, it's just the exposure. And that's why it's really important to listen to a whole range of accents.
Even Americans, like, I don't know if you've heard this, but it's, Americans are notorious for not understanding British English very well, because it's a different accent. We don't hear it so much in the United States. We don't watch like British TV shows. So I think a lot of people are just kind of shocked when they hear it.
And that's why they have to do like Harry Potter and James Bond. They speak like maybe not the most realistic sort of like British English, because I think it's somewhat internationalized so that Americans can understand it better, right?
Definitely. It's like some of the characters on The Simpsons, for example. Whenever they're British, you know, it's that very posh British accent.
Or the really Cockney one, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So I think like definitely just taking all of these factors too. If you're watching some TV series or movie, that's like we were saying before, that when you first start watching it, maybe it'll be really difficult. But I think it's this happens in real life, and it happens, you know, when you're watching any sort of media, that as you get used to certain like characters or like hearing certain people, even in real life speak, that you start to understand better. And I think there's maybe some of that kind of like musicality within the language and stuff, that it's almost like you're tuning your ears to it. And it there's like a delay there between when you first start watching and then your ears actually like accustom themselves, that all of a sudden you might be like on the third or like fifth episode of a show and you're like, okay, well now I actually can understand so much more than the first episode. And maybe that actually makes series a lot easier to understand than movies, because you have more time to kind of get used to these characters.
And furthermore, you can make it like a daily habit, because there's so many episodes.
That too.
And they're shorter coming home, you know, like spending 20 minutes or up to an hour, you know, watching something. It's like, it's daily practice. So, you know, it's like watching Modern Family or All Seasons of Friends or Game of Thrones. It's like how you're spending months with those TV shows, right?
That's definitely a good point. It's almost like you get to, you know, if you don't actually get to go live in an English speaking country, I think it's so great that you can like watch Friends, you can watch Modern Family, you can watch like any of these shows, I think especially sitcoms, and you feel like you're getting to know these characters, and you're kind of like they're your English speaking friends in some sense, because you're just, you know, seeing them every single day and like hearing them speak and whatnot. So I think that can be such a powerful tool in that sense.
And we have 210 episodes. So I mean, that's probably like over 100 hours. So
there you go.
A lot of people write us and they say that they've listened to all of them. So There you go.
Really great reason to listen to a podcast too, if there's a lot of episodes. You feel like you get to know those people or those voices in your head, and you get more used to their way of speaking. You can even get to the hard level of being able to understand Justin, and you know you're kind of like a master of English fluency at that point. And I think just like it's the convenience of it also, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube, then again, highly recommend that you actually like download this and take it with you. Because if you're just kind of like listening to that every time you're in your car in traffic, you're in line at the bank, or like any of these other moments, it's just kind of like you're filling all your time by listening to English, and just kind of that pure time of exposure is going to make a huge impact. So,
and it doesn't cost you much extra because you're in your car, you're doing it at a convenient moment. You're killing two birds with one stone, or three birds with one stone, right?
Totally. So I think that probably is a good point to wrap up this episode of the Real Life English Podcast. And we will also have like an extra little piece of this lesson that you can check out exclusively over on our Instagram, where we'll explore these ideas just a little bit more. And that's at reallife.english on Instagram. So we look forward to seeing you over there. And for the moment being, thanks so much for joining us here on the Real Life English Podcast, and we'll see you next week. 1, 2, 3.
Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes, like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com, and connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our Real Life Native Immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning Series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.